The Creation Commentary for the April 2nd, 2022 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. And God said, and behold, it was very good. Genesis 1:3-31. In the beginning, God, the Bible tells us. But what does that mean? Of course, there is the assertion that there is no beginning without God. In a sense, he defines all beginnings, since by virtue of his eternal existence, he precedes them all. Logically, it is a fallacy to assume that correlation proves causation. But we have the statements in Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, that tell us that causation is indeed happening. While Arminian free will means we are left to accept or reject this account of the world's Genesis and dole ourselves out to whatever consequences might ensue from our decision, there are deeper, more profound understandings to be drawn from this account, whether accepted literally or metaphorically. Despite it being a story of origins, it may be among the greatest of literary constructions. We are tempted to look at the ancient past in simplistic terms. We assume because the ancients did not have aircraft, automobiles, computers, and smartphones, they were little more than Neanderthals, slouching around with their knuckles dragging the ground and grunting in puzzlement at the simplest challenges. But if they were to see us today, they might wonder why we are so physically and mentally incapable. We spend our lives with machines that do most everything for us. Even in my lifetime, we have gone from having to travel to the local library by foot, bicycle, or car, to simply turning on a computer to ferret out answers from the world's accumulated knowledge. But we are unable still to create the quality of concrete the Romans used to build their aqueducts 2,000 years ago. And archaeologists have unearthed golden artifacts from 2,500-year-old civilizations like the Scythians, exhibiting incredible detail and durability, rarely found today. Therefore, it is sadly not surprising that we struggle to plumb the deeper layers of ancient literary masterpieces like the Genesis creation narrative. This commentary is an inadequate vessel to carry us to every port on that journey, but we shall nonetheless make a decent attempt to visit those destinations that are among the more significant and rewarding. Before we begin, we need to acknowledge that some topics commonly relevant to the skeptical will not be dealt with this week. Topics like theodicy will come up soon enough this quarter, but they are best left to later in Genesis. We will get to that thorny issue soon enough. Nonetheless, this foundation is a necessary predecessor to all of that. As the Bible says, it is a beginning, and what better place is there to start a journey? As I have already pointed out, in that beginning we find God. But what is God? In a sense, that is what the Bible is all about, a chaotic and contradictory mess of attempts to define him. Even the word him carries certain assumptions about sexuality and God that are problematic, for the Bible says God created man in his image. But we seem to return the favor when it comes to gender superiority, recreating him in our image. Fortunately, the disciple Jesus loved, John, seems to have figured it out, and it can be found near the other end of the Bible. God is love. This is the most profound revelatory truth about creation. It began in love. That golden thread runs through every day of the story, spoken into every minute of each day. We may even go as far as asserting life derives from love. Logically, then, it would follow that death derives from the opposite of love. But that, too, is a story for another commentary soon to come. For now, it is sufficient to note that every act of creation was infused with love. The sun, moon, and stars, the verdant land, and the sea were all created with love. Like a man and a woman, all were created to complement and complete one another. Only recently have we discovered this truth again. All life is intricately interrelated through biological webs, and invariably, what causes suffering at any point in those interrelationships brings challenges to the rest. This was known to the ancients. Even Paul wrote about creation's struggle in his letter to the Romans 2,000 years ago. What is not superficially apparent from the creation story is how closely, physically, all of creation, including humanity, is tied together. But the clues are there for the discerning. If we look at the days of creation, we discover that what is created on the fourth day could not exist without what was created on the first day. Likewise, for the second and the fifth, as well as the third and the sixth. Without light, the astronomical sources of light could not function. The sun and stars would not shine or twinkle, and the surface of the moon would reflect nothing. Without the separation of the water from the sky, there would be nowhere for the water creatures to live, or for the birds to soar. Without the land and its vegetation, the many land creatures, from ants to elephants and from rabbits to gazelles, would find it difficult to thrive. Even man, the crowning creation of the sixth day, would despair to find a stable home. There could have been no Garden of Eden. Some may think that the whole point of creation, the creation story, is that God could make something out of nothing in only 6 days. For them, the literal 6 days is a cross to die upon. But God could have created it all in a microsecond. The fact that he did not means there is a point to be made about the physical structure of the story. Some have felt it was to create the seventh-day Sabbath, mentioned in the opening verses of chapter 2. While the Sabbath was a wonderful gift of grace, given before humanity had any opportunity to earn it, and it has a beauty significant to the entire biblical narrative, I do not think that was the point of the six-day creation. That would be like saying that the wedding gifts were the point of a wedding. The Sabbath may be the crowning act of God's love, but is not part of creation. The Bible tells us that creation was finished before God rested and blessed the seventh day. We are never told within the story that God created the Sabbath. Rather than a part of creation, it was intended as a celebratory gift to humanity. Therefore, Jesus later said that the Sabbath was made for man, not the other way around. It is a gift like the grace of God, perpetually given, but sadly, often left unopened by the recipient. So what is a deeper story hidden within creation? It can be found in that interrelationship between the odd and even-numbered days. The story is poetry, a poem of ascents, moving from what was more basic to ever greater complexity, with humankind and his self-awareness coming into the story at the end. Two strands rising together, joined horizontally with rungs of necessity, holding the rising laterals bound to each other. Remarkably, a similar structure is common to every form of life on Earth. While the rungs of the genetic code may differ slightly from one species to the next, we are all, from the tiniest mosquito to the giant white whale, carrying the DNA blueprint of creation within our being. This has profound meaning for the interdependency of every living creature, no matter how diverse they may seem on the surface. Everything we do, good or bad, on this planet reverberates throughout creation and back to us. Nature teaches us this, and that the effect may even be multiplied many times over. For instance, when we plant a withered kernel of corn in the sun-warm ground and water and tend it, we eventually get back more kernels than we can hold in both our hands. We may not realize it, but God was relying on this very principle when he created the world. We are told he created us in his image. Some may think that means an old guy with a beard and robe with an attitude. But if God is love, as John says, then we must be made with the capability to be that as well, to the rest of creation and to one another. God should be able to expect that love to come back to him as well as to other human beings. However, even a child can see that something happened. Most people are not loving toward one another, and creation is not receiving much love either. We might try to blame God for what happened. Many do. But according to the creation account, God left us in charge. Blaming God then would be like a babysitter blaming the parents that the child did not get to bed on time when the parents entrusted the sitter with that responsibility. We were left in charge, and we failed in our responsibility. How that happened will be the subject of next week's commentary. Stay tuned. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find hundreds more commentaries, as well as many other podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find the written copy of this commentary at that website, as well as the footnotes supporting the thoughts shared in this commentary. May God richly bless you and your family.